yonder. 4 days ago, maybe five.
Alone?
Yeah, just moving through, doing some hunting. I left my guns and knife in the camp. If I'd had a blade, I'd have cut my leg off rather than...
Abe was close enough now to smell it. The familiar sweet-sour stench of earthly corruption. The rotting flesh was visible through the torn material of the jeans. The skin had blackened, the crusted blood attracting a host of small iridescent flies. The whole leg had swollen up to the hip, the material of the pants stretched tight.
Name's Abe. What's your name, mister? Odd that, but it seems important to know.
My name's Abe as well. You know, I can't do
it. Sure, I don't want salvation, Abe. All that's way in the fucking past. I want a bullet from that cannon you got on your hip. Smack, bang, betwixt the eyes, please.
I could do that much for you.
Shame you didn't come a few days ago. We might have saved my leg. Saved me.
You got any messages, Abe? I'm heading up west toward the ocean.
Nah, I've always been kind of a loner. No women, no kids. Didn't see any need for that. Now, only one time around, Abe, that's all. At north and west, like he said.
Who?
Never knowed his name, Abe. Around 50 or 60. Looked like he'd been real sick. Been in a dark tunnel and come out the other side.
Describe him, Abe.
I can't. Just put a bullet in my head and let me go on to rest.
Soon. Real soon, friend. Tell me about the man.
It was the traitor. Every painful detail of the description made Abe certain that it had to be the traitor.
How long ago?
For a moment, Abe thought that the trapped man had died. He'd slumped back, his eyes closed, a thread of gummy spittle edging from one corner of his mouth. But he rallied.
Figure it out. 2 or 3 weeks? A month, maybe. No longer than that. Give me a drink and a bite of food. There's a good mate, Abe.
Only be a waste, my friend.
Abe knew that he was closing in on his target. Knew it in his heart. Felt it drawing him like the magnetic north draws the lodestone. It crossed his mind that he ought to try to get in touch with Ryan Carter. Let him know the news of this progress. But he didn't have the least idea where Ryan and the others might be. Or when. Abe carried on north and west. Ryan Carter opened his eye. He had a splitting headache, and the inside of his mouth tasted as though someone had been sweeping buffalo chips into it. He closed his good eye again, sighing at how down and dirty ill he felt. His breath carried the flavor of puke, and he risked a second glance, expecting to find that he'd been sick all over himself during the horror of the recent jump. But his coat and jeans were still relatively clean. Making a jump always screwed up your head. But this one had been something especially terrible.
Fireblast. That was a bad jump.
Bad as they get.
Ryan felt Christie's fingers touch his hand.
How about you, lover?
Ryan opened his eye and risked a shudder of movement to sit upright, finding that, as usual, the walls of the Matran's chamber had altered color. The rich cobalt blue had changed to an insipid, watery yellow. Ryan winced at that, finding that the sickly hue precisely matched the way that his churning stomach was feeling.
Not so bad, but the dreams were... Gaia, but I'm glad to be out of them. It was like a story that Uncle Tyus McCann used to tell me back at Harmonyville, by a man called Poe, about a person buried while he was still alive.
I can't say my jump dreams were happy. Well, looks like the rest had a hard time of it.
Dean was deeply unconscious, on his back, snoring loudly. There was a fresh bruise on his right cheek, and blood at a corner of his mouth. Michael was huddled up, his head between his knees. His eyes were closed, but his lips gaped in a rictus of horror. He had been sick on the metal discs of the floor near his feet. His entire body was trembling. Mildred was next along. She sat with her back against the armorglass walls of the hexagonal chamber, her eyes blinking as she started to come around from the blackness. Her cheeks were smeared with tears.
Bad one.
Doc had suffered a nosebleed, crimson dappling his shirt and jacket. He was slumped to one side like a rejected puppet, his His sword stick rolled onto the far side of the chamber. At least everyone was still there, and everyone appeared to be still alive. From that point of view, it hadn't been such a bad jump after all. Doc was the slowest to stage a recovery. Mildred insisted that the old man remain sitting on the floor, his legs straight out in front of him, making him take long, slow breaths while he kept his eyes closed. She knelt at his side, carrying on a whispered conversation with him, reminding him of who he was and what had happened to him, where he was now, and who all the others were in the glass-walled chamber. The long-term mind-scrambling effects of his earlier double time-trawling hadn't entirely left him, and it was certain that he would never have a wholly clear mind. Finally, he opened his eyes.
I am fully cognizant of all of this, madam. I see no reason for you to treat me like some forgetful child. Would you assist me to my feet?
Mildred smiled and helped him up, stooping to pick up the sword stick and hand it to him.
There you go, Doc. Ready for action.
Ryan glanced around at his six companions.
It's the usual condition red when I open up the door.
JB and Christy already had their blasters out, and the others followed their lead.
I smell the sea.
What?
The sea. Salt kind of smell, Dad.
Christy moved to stand near Ryan, her head on one side, her eyes half closed.
Could be.
What do you feel, Christy? I can't smell anything in here, except sick and sweat.
There's things out there, far off, but sort of strange communication. Not human, but kind of linked to... No, I can't get it.
Danger?
I don't think so, JB.
Well, everyone on full red alert. Right. I'm opening up the door now.
The door eased back, revealing the familiar sight of a small anteroom. Like most of the ones they'd come across in the various redoubts that they jumped to, this one had no furniture. A single row of empty shelves stood along one side, and there was another closed door beyond. But there was one significant difference. The walls were furrowed with cracks, a network of connecting lines, some of them up to a half inch in width. The ceiling also showed signs of some potentially serious damage. A section in one corner had actually fallen down in a small pile of plaster and concrete rubble.
I can smell the sea stronger, Dad.
I think I can too, son.
I believe that the temperature is a little higher than in our previous location.
Doc was holding his powerful Lama in a casual way, as if it were an ornament that had somehow appeared in his hand.
Concentrate, Doc. We're going to open that door in a moment.
Mildred was examining the maze of crevices, touching them with the tip of her index finger.
Some serious quakes have been going on here. If the gateway section's as deep as usual, then, well, I wonder what the rest of the redoubt's going to be like. How about power for starters?
Most redoubts seem to have had all sorts of nuke backups. Some on direct drive from a master unit. Some had separate generators buried deep in the heart of the system. One thing we've learned about the jumps is that there's a kind of fail-safe.
How's that, JB?
The armorer pushed his glasses back up onto the bridge of his nose.
Means we can't jump if the receiving Matrans unit isn't functioning. It might be that it tries and fails, then relocates us at a second choice.
I've wondered whether that might be what happens when we get a particularly bad jump.
Could be. Keep ready, people. Here we go.
Ryan opened the door into the main control console room of the redoubt, where the salt smell was so much stronger that everyone could detect it. The condition of the Matrans control area was even worse. There was a fissure several inches deep running across one-third of the floor, exposing torn cables. All of the comp screens in that part of the room were down and dark. Many of the others were only working intermittently, lights flickering and digital displays showing an erratic mania. The walls and ceiling also demonstrated the evidence of some massive tremors in the vicinity. During his life in Deathlands, Ryan had seen the results of the hideously intensive nuking of the continent. He knew that thousands of square miles of what had once been coastal California had slithered beneath the boiling tsunamis of the Pacific. The Great Lakes had changed beyond all recognition, and the old fault lines had opened and closed, destroying cities. Some volcanoes, extinct for 10,000 years, had also burst into terrifying life, spewing forth gushers of molten lava and superheated steam to ravage the land for 100 miles around. Even now, a century later, the planet still hadn't recovered from its torture, and sometimes lurched and tilted in a ceaseless protest.
Looks like we were lucky to finish up here at all. The state of this part means that it might all close down at any moment.
It could be we should jump again.
Not unless there is absolutely no viable alternative. I would rather endure immersion in a vat of cold goose feces.
I reckon hot goose shit might be worse, Doc.